Oh, well. Take a deep breath, and we're going to dive in. We have sound. We have lights. We're good. Isn't it amazing? As soon as you lose power, and you suddenly realize how dependent you are on it. Like, I mean, we lost power there for Friday night, and then I was bored. So then I had to go out and pick ice on my driveway and came back in and played solitaire on my iPad and then went back out and picked ice on my driveway and came back in and my iPad was drained, so I had to go back out and pick ice on my driveway. Ugh, it's a hard life. Hey, we are, as it were, on the brink of time right now, today, last day of the year. 1 foot in the old year, and then 1 foot about to enter into the new year's. We're on this precipice, right? We're balancing, thinking about the old year and anticipating the new year. You look at the old year, you know what's happened. You look at the new year, filled with uncertainty. We don't know. So I want us to spend some time this morning and in some seriousness. I mean, we got the parties tonight, and we can usher in the new year with all kinds of cheer tonight. But this morning, I want us to do some reflection and then take the time to seek renewal. So this message comes in two parts. But more than just a message, I want this to be an opportunity for us. For you, as you sit here this morning, not just to take in a message, but also to challenge yourself, to reflect, and to seek renewal. We're going to take a look at Psalm 90. Psalm 90 isn't the cheeriest psalm ever. So if you're looking for something that's going to just keep you warm and fuzzy, don't turn to Psalm 90. But this morning, we're going to dare to dive into Psalm 90, to take a look at that let it afford us the opportunity to reflect and invite us into renewal. So first of all, the reflection. Let's begin with reading Psalm 90, the first 12 verses. Up on the screen, you can follow along. And this is the word of the Lord. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and withered. We're consumed by your anger, terrified by your indignation. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence, and all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80, if our strength endures, and yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So, like I say, it's not necessarily a psalm you read to cheer yourself up. But in that psalm, the psalmist dares to grab hold of time and our place in it, recognizing how minuscule we are in the grand scheme of things, and daring to reflect on that. Reflection is a good thing. It's even necessary. It takes a statement like, Lord, you've been our dwelling place. And as we sit here this morning, maybe we think, well, that's an obvious statement. We're always in the presence of God. Indeed, we are. But reflection takes that statement and places it in every nook and cranny of our lives so that if you or I take a moment to reflect, then during the course of this year, we can begin to recognize, yes, Lord, you've been our refuge in times of trouble. Yes, Lord, you've been present when we thought we were all alone. Yes, Lord, you've been a safe haven when the storm comes. With reflection, we can begin to see God's presence everywhere. And that's important because sometimes we get so busy doing things. We get so busy trying to accomplish our ambitions. And we forget to reflect. A middle-aged couple says they've lost their faith. There's no crisis. No major disappointments in their life. They've just gotten busy. First with their business, then with their travels, then with family, then with other things. And along the way, they just stop church. And they stop believing. And then finally one day, they take the time to sit down and they recall their memories of church. And they recollect the faith community that they used to belong to. And they remember their faith, and the excitement begins to build again, and faith begins to return. And what happened was that they hadn't lost their faith. They had forgotten it. They had failed to reflect. So Psalm 90. An important psalm for us to read on this last day of the year. Seems like a painful psalm, actually. There's the contrast of an everlasting God compared to the brevity of our lives. There's the stability of God and his weight in the universe. In all of creation, compared to our frailty, there's the fear of God's judgment against our sin-sick souls. Psalm 90 was probably written when Israel was cast into exile. They were cast out of their promised land, the land that they thought they would be able to dwell in forever. And it seems such a dreary psalm, even melancholy. Depression sets in when you read this psalm. And yet this psalm is a glorious example of the need for reflection in our lives, for reflection on time past, reflection on an old year. There's the admission of human limitations. Think about all the things you had ambition for, and you never got around to it. Maybe you just ran out of time. God's an everlasting God. Time never runs out for him, but for us, yes, it does. And then there's the constant threat of death itself. The psalmist dares to speak those words. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. More than great poetry. It makes us realize, yeah, death faces us every day. We fill our lives with all kinds of things to distract us, but there it is. And there it is again. This year, in my 10 years of being here, we did more funerals than ever before. 7 of them. Doesn't seem like a terrible amount, but it's been a lot of funerals for us. constantly in front of us. And even when we make it to 80 years old, all the days that have gone by, upon reflection, yes, they're filled with trouble, filled with sorrow. Even in the happiness, there's that shadow. There's that shadow that exists. And so all of this psalm's reflection, sobering as it might seem, is nevertheless encircled with these two statements in verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, throughout all of 2017. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Not our fancy homes, not our cozy conditions. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. And then the psalmist dares to reflect on all of the sobering circumstances of our lives and concludes, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we have a heart of wisdom. Time passed. It may be filled with trouble. It may be filled with sorrow even, or maybe just plain regret, or maybe in some instances, complete remorse. And yet God is our dwelling place. Always has been, always will. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Makes you recognize how utterly dependent we are on God's grace, on God's favor, on God's love, on God's mercy, and on his compassion. Every day. And in every one of those days, God can teach us to make our days count. No matter how fleeting they seem to be, no matter how wasteful we have been with the time that God has given, no matter how dreadful the time has been, we can look into a new year because God can teach us to make our days count. So that it's not just a matter of whether we're having a good time yet or not, but whether we're aware of our relationship with God every day. Whether we know our limits. Whether we consider that beyond our daily existence, there is a God who has created, continues to create. There is a God who loves and continues to love. There is a God who has mercy and continues to have mercy. The issue is whether we're wise enough to realize that our happiness is not the definition of our lives, but that our relationship with God actually shapes the success of our lives. So what I want us to do right now is just take a moment to reflect on the past year when God was or wasn't your dwelling place. Think through, maybe just even in a general sort of way, when did God show up? Or when were those moments where you missed God? Our hearts are warmed. Our faith is encouraged in the times that God's been closer than our own breath. Those are the glorious times. But we confess the times too when, despite the beauty that God has placed in our lives, we confess that our words have been ugly. Our relationships were unattractive. Our holiness was defiled. Our obedience was obnoxious. Dare to reflect on that. Dare to admit it to yourself. Dare to confess it to God. Oh God, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom to know you, to love you, to obey you, to follow you all the days of our life. Make our days count for your sake, for your glory, for your kingdom. Amen. That's not the end of the psalm, as sobering as that might be. Now let me invite you into renewal for a new year, for 2018. The psalmist, as daring as the psalmist is to reflect on the old, on the regrettable, on the disappointment, on the troubling times, the psalmist continues, verse 13, "Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad, God, make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants. May your splendor be shown to their children. And may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. God, establish the work of our hands." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Those are good words. In a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon, we have it on the next slide there. There we go. The Calvin and Hobbes, hopefully you're familiar with them, because that's just good stuff. So Calvin and Hobbes, they're walking together in the snow, reflecting on a day like today. Hobbes, which is Calvin's stuffed tiger, he asks, "Did you make any resolutions for the new year?" Well, Calvin then, he comes undone there, and he says, "No, I'm fine just the way I am. Why should I change? In fact, I think it's high time the world started to change to suit me. I don't see why I should do all the changing around here. If the new year requires resolutions, I say, it's up to everyone else, not me. I don't need to improve. Everyone else does." And he takes a breath and then, in greater composure, says, "How about you? Did you make any resolutions?" Hobbes has this flabbergasted look on his face. He says, "Well, I had resolved to be less offended by human nature, but I think I blew it already." That's what happens with the unevaluated life. That's what happens without reflection in life. A person that never reflects and never makes any commitments, well, they might still have an amused life. They might even have a happy life. Things could still go well for them. But that's all it is. Just a happy life. Superficial, without meaning, without purpose. It has no depth to it. And Psalm 90 refuses to concede to that kind of life. The psalmist in Psalm 90 wants life not just to be happy on the surface and think, phew, I got through that, or reached 80 years, and man, you know what? A few troubles here and there, but overall, it's good enough. Glad it's over. That's too vain. That's too empty. And the psalmist knows better. And consequently, the psalmist appeals to God. God, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. God, yes, there is trouble, but we're so entirely dependent on you, God, that only you can make us glad in the midst of our lives. You, God, are our happiness. Indeed, our life is an affliction otherwise. And otherwise, our years are but trouble. A thrill here, a happiness there, unless God makes us glad deep down in our soul. That is what we seek. With one foot nearly into a new year, for God to make us glad. That is renewal. Becoming spiritually refreshed so that in the midst of another year, maybe of pleasure, maybe of pain, we remain rooted in the goodness of God. And then we can grow beyond the simple pleas for God to make this thing go right and to get us through this piece. And God, please make me happy here. But instead, we can pray for God, the master of our lives, to establish the work of our hands. Imagine that. Imagine going through life, not just kind of doing things and hoping for the best, or not just doing things and hoping that people notice to go, look at me. But imagine to be renewed in spirit so that every work of your hands isn't just something you happen to do, whether well or half decent. But imagine that every work of your hands could be established by a God who is from everlasting to everlasting. Wow. That gives what you do some weight in this world. That means that what you do matters every moment of your life. Establish the work of our hands, God. Establish the work of our hands. What I'm getting at is that we have to grab hold of our faith in this new year. It's a perfect opportunity to say, I got to work this faith. Because honestly, I think sometimes for us, with all that we have, with all that surrounds us, sometimes faith is like, it's like when I go car shopping. And faith just becomes another option that I'd like to have. And we say, oh yeah, I think I would like that. I'll put that in my life. And then from year to year, it just sits there. And you end up not even using it. Sometimes faith is like that. It's like a decoration in our lives. And instead, we need to recognize that faith is a living aspect of our lives. Something that needs to be nurtured and it needs to be pruned. This thing is alive and it needs to be exercised and stretched in order to remain alive. The wisdom of faith asks the question, on a day like today, it asks, what exactly is important here? Is it going to be the success of your party tonight? Or is it going to be the aim of your life from here on in? And in the midst of a changing world, the wise person of faith asks, how do I live my faith? How do I exercise my faith today? And sometimes that is going to mean sheer wrestling with what it means to believe in God and then the choices you face in life. And sometimes it's going to leave you perplexed, and sometimes it's going to leave you confused, and sometimes it's going to leave you troubled. But sometimes that's exactly where God needs you to be, in the midst of that wrestling, to keep your faith alive. And all you've got left is sheer dependence on God alone. And so the call for renewal goes out to each one of us on this, the eve of 2018. A renewal of our faith. A recommitment of our promise to serve Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Master of our lives. I invite you into that this morning. And I want to use a prayer that John Wesley wrote. John Wesley was an 18th century preacher, started the Methodist movement. And he wrote this prayer. Stu Baker reminded me of it, and I thought, you know what? We got to grab a hold of this. In the midst of this invitation to renew our faith and to grab a hold of the commitments that we once made and say, yes, I need to work those commitments once again. And so I want to invite you to commit yourself to Christ all over again for the first time. As servants of Jesus, in the words of this prayer, we're going to throw it up on the screen and we're going to say it together. And let this be your prayer, and we've printed it out in the Encourager, so if you get an electronic copy of our bulletin, it's in there, you can return to it. I think it's on our website, it's been posted on Facebook, and otherwise just look up our John Wesley Renewal Commitment Prayer, something or other, and it'll come up as well. But I want us to, why don't we just stand together and make this the commitment for our new year. And let the words sink in. We're not going to read this super fast just so we can get out of here, because these are some pretty startling words. And if you pray them as the prayer of your commitment, indeed, you are making a major promise. Here we go. Let me be your servant. I want you to say it together. Let me be your servant. Let me follow your commands. I will no longer follow my own desires. I give myself completely to your will. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Let me be lifted high for you. Let me be brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. With a willing heart, I freely give everything to your pleasure and disposal. Amen. You may be seated. Almighty God, we make these commitments and we dare to make them.
not on our own strength, not even by our own will, but by the Spirit of God who leads us. And so we pray, fill us with your Spirit. God, as we reflect on this old year, and as we enter into a new one, you are our dwelling place. Teach us to number our days. And satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. That's what we count on, Father. That is our hope, and that is our guarantee. And so we pray that you will show us your love, moment by moment, day by day, in the times of trouble and in the times of excitement, in the times of sorrow and in the times of joy, in the times of despair and in the times of wonderful thrill. God, let us be steadfast in you. And so in the commitments that we have just made, Father, may they be true in our lives for the year 2018. Quite the commitments they are, God. But we dare to make them because you are our God, our Father. All things come from you, and to you all things return. And so make us faithful. And for as many days as you give to us, make us glad, for in you is our joy and our strength. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close with the words from the book of Hebrews, a wonderful blessing there for the new year. So would you stand one more time as we close off the service? And we're going to sing together one more time. Receive this blessing from God as you go from this place. Go with joy. Go with the strength of God. Go in His peace. And may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.